Everybody, it's Lacey.
And I'm Lauren.
And welcome back to another episode of the Llamas Podcast.
So today we are starting off our millennial series. This is going to be how being a millennial actually impacts our life. And today's topic is going to be how being a millennial with boomer parents, pretty much, and boomer family, how that impacts us and how we're starting to deal with the boomers getting older and like us having different responsibilities at this point and just some crazy things they do. But first, we're going to start this off with a somewhat question, more of a Lacey wants to talk moment of this. But so I've heard there's been more Kanye drama in the news, Lacey. So can you give us a roundup?
So just so you know, if you follow this podcast, you are going to get the Kanye updates. Like, that's just like a side note of this. So yesterday it came out that Kanye has filed a lawsuit against his dentist, claiming that his dentist is at fault for him becoming addicted to laughing gas. And his wife's lawyer has also filed a lawsuit as well for him causing Kanye to get addicted to laughing gas. And that has caused her not to have a husband in her marriage. And instead of having a normal marriage with a normal husband, essentially, that she hasn't had to do that. She has instead had to take care of him because the laughing gas has altered his brain and physical capabilities, mental, emotional capabilities, and there's been distress. And the lawsuit alleges as well that tanks of laughing gas were delivered to Kanye's house. So
she filing is, what is it called? Loss of consortium?
I guess.
Is that it? Like, is that what, like, because you don't have the marital relations anymore? Because if he's suing himself, she shouldn't be able to get damages based on his issue. She's suing because she doesn't have a loving relationship. That's crazy. Also, I've had laughing gas plenty of times because I've had some dental work done, like fillings, all that fun stuff. I don't really see how you get addicted to it, but whatever.
No, and also, like, okay, I understand with any addict, there we have to place blame on the people selling it and the doctors, you know, that overprescribe and stuff like that. Not stating that. What I am going to tell you is there is a episode of the Kardashians where Kim comes and says that Kanye told the personal trainer off because Kim said, I really want to lose like 10 pounds, 15 pounds, whatever. And the trainer was like, gosh, I don't know how you're going to do that, because basically saying like Kim was in such great shape. And Kanye flipped and said, if she wants to lose pounds in her pinky toe, you better figure out a way for her to lose weight in her pinky toe. That's what I'm paying you for. That is how Kanye is. So I'm sorry, I'm not convinced that it was solely just the doctor willy-nilly like, okay, yes, let's just get this delivered to your house and stuff like that. Like, Kanye has resources and stuff to put pressure on people to do these things. So if the dentist is at fault and did something wrong, like, yes, I think we should hold the dentist accountable. You have to also hold Kanye accountable as well for his actions and choices.
I guess the thing is that, like, I definitely get, like, the doctors that give you, like, pain medicine, like Michael Jackson, all that stuff, coming in, right, giving him IVs. Like, they definitely did stuff wrong, and they should lose their license for sure. But, like, I've never heard of a dentist, like, never, sending laughing gas to your house. No. Like, I don't even, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's possible, but I know Kanye is so rich. If he wanted laughing gas, he could get laughing gas, like, without his dentist even being involved. Mm-hmm. But I have never once went to my dentist and said, can you give me the hookup on some laughing gas? Like, I don't get it, but whatever.
I don't either. I have not heard of that. But anyways, that's the latest Kanye thing, which also, though, if he's doing a lawsuit and admitting to this, I think that would help Kim in any arguments she would have regarding the children and changing custody / visitation. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, in family court, like, I know, like, in civil court and, like, criminal court, when you bring in stuff like other outside evidence, there's a lot more based on, is it probative versus, like, problematic situation. Like,
relations,
but in family court, I don't know how it is in every state, but in family court, there's a lot easier to get all that evidence in. So I don't think she'd have much hard time bringing in My husband, right. My ex-husband's addicted to laughing gas.
Yeah. I mean, this is public record now. It was on E. So, shifting gears to raising parents. I don't even know where to begin, Lauren.
For me, I don't have as many of these issues. Not that me and my parents don't get in our tiffs and those type things, but I will say I have a dad who is in a tech world and is very self-sufficient in a lot of things boomers are not. Like, I call my dad to fix my TV, not vice versa. Right. So that, and my mom honestly keeps my kids alive, so I can't say too much bad about her. But really, my parents are pretty high-functioning boomers, but there are some interesting and weird things they do. And I think one of the biggest things I've noticed that I have to watch what they do is on social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mother will take a picture of me with my eyes closed where I look high or drunk, and I am not, and that is what she posts on social media.
I've seen it. Yes. Mama Fluffy, why are you posting this? Do you hate your child?
Why can you get, like, I'm not saying every picture of me is beautiful, but she will pick the worst possible picture. And I don't know, is it because she can't see good, like her glasses aren't working?
Zoom, like, pull up the camera and zoom in and see.
And I was like, I think that is overall a very boomer thing we're dealing with is our parents. Yeah. They didn't have social media. Lord, they didn't have cell phones. They grew up like when you went out, nobody knew where you were for hours because you didn't have all this access. And I think them and social media, and I think on that, Lacey's uncle posts some interesting posts on social media.
Lord. We're going to get to him too. Don't get me wrong. I've got some stuff. Sorry, Sean.
We know each other's families and everything. So I'm friends with him on Facebook. Nothing bad, but I will see all these posts about big-breasted women.
You know, he woke up from his surgery and they asked him what his favorite thing, and that's what he said it was.
Boobs.
Boobs. He used a different word. I can't even say it because I don't like that word. It starts with a T. But anyways, that's what he said. Sean was mortified. I'm still mortified. I'm mortified for you, Sean. Sean's my cousin. But yes, I don't know what we're going to do. So I guess as we're on the topic with Uncle Rusty, I'm going to talk about some of the things me and Sean, because Sean is my cousin, but he really is like my brother. And my uncle has been a father figure to me in my life. So I consider, you know, I'm part of the team raising that one too. And I mean, I think all the Stevens are stubborn. Like, I think it's a family trait. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, he only drinks sweet tea. That's it. He used to drink water and he would tell Sean, you know, you got to drink water. You got to be healthy. So Sean's all the time saying, can we drink a glass of water? Well, there's water in sweet tea. There's water in sweet tea. So that's my water.
My dad would diet Mountain Dew. Like, that's Diet Mountain Dew or Gatorade. That's all he's going to drink.
And I don't get, it's like, okay, but you know, like just one glass, that's going to take 30 minutes at most, right? Not even that long. Just won't even entertain it. And the thing is they know, your dad too, because I know your dad, he knows that this is a healthier choice just to do it once a day. And they just choose not to. And then another thing he did, I got so annoyed. I sent it to Sean a screenshot. He posted about Wendy's getting his order wrong. The man has had two heart attacks, Lauren, and he's eating at Wendy's and he wants to fuss about Wendy's. I wanted to be like, how about send them order, you know, getting your lunch wrong? You just not go because we've had two heart attacks and we'd like you on this earth. So those are the things that we deal with that man is, you know, just knowing what healthier options are. And in an age where, you know, you really should kind of balance, you know, what can I do to really make sure I'm healthy and stay in here? And it don't matter. He's just going to do what he wants to do. He don't want to, he knows he don't want to hear it. I don't know what to do to get through that stubborn man. I told Sean when he got out of surgery, I said, the easy part's over because now he's got to do the PT and the rest and the not going to work part. And he ain't gonna listen to nobody. I said, that's going to be the hardest part of this. I ain't worried about the surgery. The man's going to be just fine there. It's after surgery. I don't know if he's going to listen to crap.
And I feel like that is definitely a boomer dad trait, because my dad had surgery on his shoulder about 2 years ago now, or 3 years ago. I think I was pregnant with Maddie at the time. So it's been a while ago. And that was our biggest fear, was he's not going to listen to the doctors, and he's going to get up and he's going to go overdo it, because my dad works from home a lot, and he really enjoys going to the gym because he has a lot of friends at the gym. That's one of his social things. And we just knew he was going to try to get up and go to the gym way too quick and not listen to the doctors. Even though my parents very much respect doctors and think they're smart, he just didn't want to sit at home. He did listen, though, because they pretty much told him, if you don't do it, you're going to be back in surgery in a year.
I hope they told him that. So he had a hip replacement. He's got to do the other side as well for arthritis. So I'm really hoping that because he also has to do this again, he will, you know, do right and do the PT and rest and balance it and do what he's supposed to do and listen. But I'm real worried once Sean leaves, because he's there now, and I'm just really worried that he's just going to do what he wants to do. And honestly, he probably is with Sean there. I don't know. But
well, and that's the hard thing. You can't tell them what to do, because they know better and they're your parents. So if you give them any ideas or any, like, maybe we should do it this way. No, I'm older than you. I know more than you. Yeah. You're not going to convince me. And something my grandmother used to say that I feel has been brought into the next generation is, you're not convincing me and I'm not convincing you. And that means shut up. I'm not going to listen to you. Move on.
Yes. Yes. I think the biggest thing with my mom is approaching, like with mental health and stuff like that, with counseling and stuff. So like I have been to therapy, and I think mental health just is approached significantly different in our generation where the boomers are, you know? So, you know, one thing, my sister has called my mom to vent about like something going wrong, and she'll just go, I'm not paying for it. I don't got the money. And she just jumps to fixing. Right. So, my stepdad has been working on my bathroom for the past year, and he's been really sick. I'm honestly really worried about him. I hadn't seen him in a few weeks, and I just know like he just hasn't looked the same, and just talked to my mom. So, but also I don't have a bathroom, and it's been a year. So I'll call, and I'm frustrated, you know, about the situation, but at the same time, I'm very worried. I'm not just saying, I know he's not intentionally not coming, but I got to get my bathroom done. Well, like, and so she sat me down last time. She goes, I don't like being put in the middle. And I'm like, I didn't put you in the middle. I vented to you my frustrations, but I'm not expecting you to fix it. And that's what she doesn't understand that. She doesn't comprehend, you know, what is someone saying to me? Are they asking me for an ear to listen, or are they asking me for action? And I think that's a big difference between the boomer era and our era as well. You know, I think sometimes we just vent, we just need somebody to talk to. We don't necessarily need you to fix it, especially like I am almost 37 years old. If I've got a problem, I'm going to fix it with my husband. I'm not going to go to my mom, you know, if I need my mom, I'll specifically go to her and say, can you X, Y, and Z? And I've done that with situations before, but most of the time I'm calling her to say, oh my God, you know, this is just what's all going wrong. And she's like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. I didn't ask you to do nothing. I just wanted to tell you because you're my mom. Can I not vocalize?
I will say with millennials, though, I do think we are needier and more dependent on our parents sometimes than prior generations. Like, so for instance, I have to go to the doctor because I'm going to have some surgery coming up. When I go to this appointment, yes, my husband's coming, but my mama's coming too. Like, it is what it is. Like, I feel like we are more okay with, like, while we all go off and live our own lives, I feel like a lot of us, even if we don't live near our parents, and I think this is how times have changed. You know, we have unlimited time to talk on the cell phone. It's not like long distance, that type of stuff. I do feel like our communications are way more than probably what our parents were with their parents on the regular. Because, like, literally, if my child, when she was a baby, had a bad diaper, I may take a picture of it and ask my mama, do you think I need to go to the doctor for this? And, feel like we as a gen, I think it's kind of what, because, like, they need us to step up and do stuff for them now. but we also are still like a little more like connected to our parents.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that has to do with, there was a statistic, and it's a good one for you boomers, that they are more involved with their grandchildren. I think that's kind of where that stems from, honestly. Statistics say that, you know, grandparents are way more involved with grandchildren and being a part of like a village and raising them than generations past. And I will say my great grandmother on my mom's side, my mom's side, so mama, when mama had kids, she was like, I'm not keeping them. I'm not right. I raised my kids and I'm done. And from what I've understood is that was very common. That wasn't just her being like, I don't want nothing to do with my grandkids. That was common of the time. And I do think people had a lot more kids. So they were parenting a lot longer to, you know, adulthood. Because I know my great grandma had six children. So I do think that played a part in that. And, you know, whereas like now, both my moms are coming this weekend to stay with the kids. We're going out for our anniversary tomorrow and I've got to work on Sunday. So they're coming in to hang out with the kiddos. And that's very common. Like when we vacation, we always invite our moms. And I think my mother-in-law is going to start doing like after school at some point for my brother-in-law's kids. And my mom already takes my nieces to school and picks them up. So I just think, you know, we have that more. And that, again, like you said, that ties us more to them. Whereas in generations past, according to my mom, like you never got the grandparent to watch the kids. You always had to get like babysitters or somebody in the neighborhood or something like that.
And I think some of this plays into, not to be any type political in this or anything like that, because nobody's trying for that, but we have to have two incomes to support our household now. Like,
right.
Back, you know, like in the 50s, like I feel like being a full-time, a hot stay-at-home mom is 100% a hard job. Like, I'm not saying it's not or anything right. like that. But a lot of times in those situations, women could stay home if they wanted to and raise the children, because you could survive off just one spouse's income. But in today's time, you can't. I mean, like, yeah. You really, unless you have, like, obviously, if your husband is, like, or wife is a cardiologist making $1 million a year, obviously. But, like, for people who are just in the normal, like, working class people, mm-hmm. we need two incomes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I definitely think that plays a part in it for sure.
They do say that grandparents who are more involved with their grandchildren live longer, though. So
I saw that too.
Good for them to be involved. I do think we see a lot of differences, just like when our parents become grandparents versus when they were parents. And I mm-hmm. think we'll probably touch on that more in the how to raise our children group. But yeah. I think that is one of the biggest things between the boomers and us, is our parents completely changed from how they raised us to how they raised these grandchildren.
You ain't lying there. With mental health too, and like, I don't know, I just feel like our generation is focused so much more on health. You know, like I learned, and I had to learn on my own because my mama surely didn't teach it, but I think our generation is more like, okay, we know what proteins are in eating healthy and working out. And I'm not saying we always do that, but we're aware, right, to try to balance as much as we can. And I just think we have that knowledge and trying to drink more water and implementing that with our kids. And it's so frustrating with our boomer parents. And like, I want my mom, forgive me, to live as long as possible. I want Uncle Rusty to live as long as possible. My grandma, like, my grandma will be talking about death, and she got mad at me because I didn't say I wanted her to die. She's like, you just want me to suffer. I'm like, I didn't say that. I just said, I hope you get well. Like, it was terrible, but she got mad at me because she said she sounded like I want her to suffer, when I'm like, I don't want you to suffer. I'm just saying, I just hope you live a long time. Like, my bad. I'll start praying you go soon. I don't know. But, you know, with my mom and stuff, like, she, you know, wants to lose weight. I said, Mommy, just once a week when you go to Mama's to clean, just take one lap around the house, just once a week. And then when that feels good, add twice a week. And then when that feels good, do two laps twice, you know. I asked her this months ago, January. She ain't walked one lap. And it just infuriates me.
I think also our parents grew up in diet culture, and we're trying to get away from that as a generation. Like,
so
it was growing up with, and diet culture didn't mean, being skinny didn't mean you were healthy, I think. And I think that's where we've learned that, obviously, yeah. I'm not skinny. You can't see my full body, but I'm not a skinny person. I have never been skinny. But I feel overall I'm healthy, like my blood work's good, because I think that's something our generation is trying to change, is going from, I will say my grandma ate very healthy, like she, because her generation did. I feel like they ate whole foods, yeah. They farmed, they ate good, they were more active. And then, like, you know, kind of in our parents' generation, I feel like that's when a lot of activity decreased into ours, more like processed stuff and all that. And I feel like that is when diet culture really got big. And like things like, you know, I remember my mom doing like the Special K diet, where you just like eat two bowls of Special K and then a meal at night. And that wasn't healthy for you. That wasn't the way to lose weight. That wasn't good. So I think our parents have probably been thrown around. And they're also in the generation where they were already smoking. They learned smoking was bad for you, but it was cool to smoke. Where our generation is like, it's nasty to smoke. I don't, right. It's gross. Like, yeah. You do you, but it stinks. And we know it causes cancer. So I think our parents, like now in their older age, we're trying to get them to be healthy, but healthy isn't skinny. And healthy is trying to have a good, balanced relationship with food and exercise. And I just think, because like growing up, your mom probably did like Richard Simmons and all that stuff, which was fun. Such a push for women to be tiny. You know, it's just kind of like, I feel like there's that disconnect in that now with how we're trying to undo diet culture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my niece Maya was asking me, she's like, Aunt Lacey, I eat healthy now. I'm eating salads and more fruit. And I said, well, that's not eating healthy. Salads and fruit is just not eating healthy. Let's talk about proteins. And we went through the meal that she had from Chick-fil-A, and I talked about what's a protein, what's a carb, and discussed what healthier choices were and substitutions for certain things. Like if you pick one carb, fries or mac and cheese, and you pick your protein, then you can maybe do the salad or the fruit. Don't do two carbs, and why? And those are discussions that I'm having with my niece now. That was never told to me. And I think that's another thing. There's so many things that we've had to teach ourselves. Like, I credit Lauren, honestly, for teaching me that the importance of working out. I never worked out. I was skinny. I was always skinny. I hate to say blessed in that, because then that's saying you're not blessed if you're not. And I agree with you. Just because I was skinny, I was not healthy. I did not eat well. I ate bowls of cereal every single night. And I'm talking like Fruit Loops, like high sugar cereals. I didn't drink water. I drank sweet tea every day, all day. I was not healthy. I was just skinny because of genetics. So freshman year of college, I lived with Lauren, and she made it, and like, it's important to go to the gym. And I'm like, what? We're gonna go to the gym? And we would go, and we would go walk, and you would talk to me, I don't even know if you remember this, about cardio and cardio and strength training and things you'd learn actually from your dad, I think. And that taught me. But you know, with my mom, like, that was never taught to me. Like you said, with the diet culture, my grandma would bust out the Richard Simmons tapes for a little bit, put on her sports bra and do some exercises, but then I didn't see the tape for months and months and months. You know, it wasn't like you, where you were like, you, this has to be a part of your regular weekly life. And honestly, I thank you now today, because I don't think I would be as healthy and know the importance of being active without you teaching me those things.
And I feel like exercise is one of the best things you can do if you're a parent, because I don't enjoy it, but it makes me stronger for my kids. And I will say, like, that's something like, so I started doing Orange Theory like this past January. So Orange Theory, if you want to sponsor this, just kidding. But it's my hour for me. Like, it's something that is just for me. It's not for my kids. It's not for my husband. Like, I put my phone down. I put it in a locker, whatever. Go do it just for me. And I think that's a mental health break for me. And I think that's something different from our parents sometimes, is like, we are trying to make time for ourselves in all of this. And I think sometimes there can be judgment from parents. It's like, well, why are you doing that? Shouldn't you be at home with your kids? But making me happier makes my kids happier, right. makes us happier. And if I can do some strength training so I can pick up my now 40-pound child, because right. my five-year-old is 40 pounds, which is normal. She's completely like, right, but yeah. she's tall. But picking her up and carrying her for more than a few feet can be hard. So I do need to have some work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and I'm not blaming my mom so much as I am the doctors of that have led to this problem. But it's with my grandma too. If something's wrong mentally, automatically jump into a prescription. I don't think that in their generation, we paired it like, okay, if there's a mental health diagnosis, counseling and medication, you know, what is the treatment plan? It was not a treatment plan. It was a treatment pill. And I think now we have treatment plans, not a treatment pill. You know, I know that there are moments, and I'm not saying don't get medicated. I'm a big advocate of medication if it's right for your treatment plan. I do not believe in medication if you're just trying to fix a quick fix, if that makes sense. So I know when I have moments where I'm really down and I'm not well and I just feel alone and stuff like that, like I've got to keep working out, you know, because that is one thing. Endorphins make you happy, and Legally Blonde told us happy people don't kill their husbands, right? So I know I've just got to push through and do those things. I know if I'm upset and I am not right in the mind, I don't pick up a glass of wine. I don't drink. You know, that doesn't solve anything. And I just think we're just so much more aware of these things than our parents, where they were down, something's wrong. So, you know, let me go to the doctor about how I'm feeling. Oh, there's a pill that'll make me feel better. Great. Give me that. And like I said, I'm not as upset with my mom at that, because that, I think she just fell into that. And now it's hard to convince her, like you said, hey, I know some deeply traumatic things that she's been through, and I can't imagine how that affects her. I mean, it clearly affects her and has affected her entire life. I can see it now, and it hurts to not see her get help. And I tell her about counseling and stuff like that, and just, no, I've got my medication for my diagnosis, you know, for my depression, anxiety. And I'm like, but I know what it's stemming from. And if you talk about it and heal from it, maybe you'll still need the medication. That's quite possible, but it might work better, you know? But I don't know anything.
Like in all this, like boomers and us as millennials, the words we use, they don't like them anymore. Like if we say something triggered us, they get mad because we use that word triggered. And I think that's a disconnect with people. Like, we don't mean anything bad by it. That's just our lingo, where they had different lingo. But like the use of like, or like they say somebody's woke, like, they just don't like our lingo for things. Like, it'll drive me insane, because I'm like, what does that mean? That sounds like a bad word. It's not. It really means nothing.
Yeah. And my mom will, if I say she hurt my feelings, well, I wasn't meaning to. I know you didn't mean to. You're my mama. I don't think you'd ever intend to hurt my feelings. That doesn't change the fact that you just hurt my feelings.
Well, yeah, they don't think they should apologize. Hate things
so personally. I'm like, I'm not even getting upset. I'm just stating a fact. I'm stating, just letting you know that this hurts my feelings. And it just gets blown.
I will say, I think from like all of this too, is like kind of in the legal perspective and my, like, so many times I think in the boomer generation, and not men or women, but like one spouse knows everything. Like one spouse is like, it doesn't matter. Like in my family, it's probably my mom who knows all like their financial stuff, where everything is, like where all their stuff is. And then if something happens to that one spouse who knows everything, they don't always have the communication with the other spouse to know. And I don't think this is men. I think every family is different. It's not like a woman man thing. It's just like there's the know-it-all spouse and the spouse that knows nothing. And like when something happens, so like for instance, my aunt and uncle, I think this is funny. My aunt Cheryl, about a year ago, learned how to pump gas.
Oh,
she had never pushed gas before in her life because her husband always did it for her. And, you know, that was theirs. But, like, he had a heart attack and she didn't know how to pump gas. So my daddy had to go show her how to pump gas. So, like, I feel like that was something very, like, in their culture. Like, one spouse just handling stuff, the other just, you know, does whatever. And I think in ours, we have learned to balance stuff with our spouses. And I think that's something that we're trying to deal with our boomer parents. I know your mom's a single mom with the boyfriend, but like, right. I think that's something that we're trying to, is like, understand the whole picture. Don't one of you just handle everything. Don't just have your name on the power bill. So something happens to one of you, you can't even pay the power bill kind of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So wrapping up, it is hard raising these boomer parents. I will take all the thoughts and prayers. Mommy, if you listen to this, and Uncle Rusty, I love you both, but y'all contribute to mine and Sean's gray hair. Not gonna lie.
And be careful what you put on Facebook. Ask your children before you put that picture of them looking high or something when they are not. And I also think, kind of wrapping up in all of this, there's us as millennials, there's the boomers, and then you have this generation between us that are probably the toughest, most intense generation out there, because they were possibly raised by boomers, but they were raised before the technology age. So I think that generation is its own, and they are probably more intense than either one of us.
Yeah, it's not looking bright, not looking bright. So I can't remember what episode is next in our series with millennials. I know one of the series we're going to talk about raising our kids as millennials and how that's different from we were raised. So if you liked this episode, make sure you follow us and check us on the next episode. See you later. Bye.